And I appreciate you being here tonight. Thank you for staying faithful to God and His house. I appreciate that. Philippians chapter 4, if you would please. We're going to look at one verse of Scripture, but we're going to be in Philippians 4, the entire message. We will allude to other places, but Philippians 4, so keep a marker there. Philippians 4, verse 7, if you would please. The Bible says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Heavenly Father, thank you and praise you for your love and care for us. Thank you that you're alive and well. Thank you and praise you, Lord, that you are watching over us. Guide us now in every way. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Let's be honest. Don't you really hate people that are calm when everything else is confusing? I mean, doesn't it bother you when you're all excited and you're all fired up about something and someone's standing there going, "Yeah, I guess." You know, it's just frustrating, isn't it? Or when someone is going through the midst of a storm, they're calm, they have peace. Someone is calm in the midst of trials, comfort in the midst of heartache, temperance in the midst of confusion, a peace that passes all understanding. Sometimes you feel like the disciples, remember, they're on the stormy sea, its waves are flying, they're about ready to sink, and they go down and here's Jesus. And what did they say to them? Anybody remember? "Carest thou not that we perish?" And he's like, "Ye of little faith, didn't I say let's go to the other side?" Didn't he say, "I'll take you to the other side"? We ought to be okay. Amen with that? It is confusing. They did not understand how he could be at peace in the storm, as many today cannot understand those of us that seem calm in the midst of this chaos. We ought to be calm. My title of message, I just thought of a different one, Brent, on the way up, but I told her it. She said, "What's the title? Tell me the title." My wife needs to know everything. So, my title is, I Can Understand It. That's what came up to me. Today I'm praying, and I'm read my Bible, I'm laying down, taking a nap, and I'm praying, and all of a sudden God goes, boop, here's a message. And the message title is, "I Can Understand." Or how about this one? I like this one. I get it. I do get it. I understand how people can have a peace that passeth all understanding. Other people may not understand it, but I think I can understand it. And I got four things here the Lord gave me. If you would, please, in verse 1 through 3, listen to this. "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Tyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with any other my fellow laborers whose name are in the book of life," whose names are in the book of life. The first thing, how can I understand it? How can we understand those people that have a peace that passed the fall of understanding? Well, first of all, they have someone to work with. Isn't it encouraging that other people are serving the Lord? I don't know about you, the first time they threw that mandate on, I'm looking at the clock, it's 9:28, and Brad's not here yet. He promised me he would be here every service. It's 9:20. I look at Brent and say, "Well, maybe he changed his mind." 9:29, he walks in. I'm thinking, well, at least I have one here at the church with me to pray with me. Then all of a sudden, Gary strayed in. I went, all right, and then some others strayed in. It sure is encouraging, and it's easy to have peace when you have other people working with you. Amen. We find in the book of Romans, you could turn there if you will, I'm not going to read it, but book of Romans chapter 16, verse 1 through 16, we find Paul talking to the Roman Christians and making a list of all those people that were working with him. I mean, what a blessing to have brethren. Come on, amen. I don't know about you. I like that word. I like brethren better than family. Family's a little nutty. You know, brethren stick with each other. It's amazing to me. During this silliness, brethren have stuck with me more than family. But I praise the Lord for brethren, you know, that stick with. It's nice to know that you have someone. The reason why you can have a peace of passive all understanding is you have brethren. But not only that, look what it says here. He says, "Dearly beloved." There's some people that love you. There's the beloved. You know, there's people that stuck with Paul through thick and thin. You remember Epaphroditus? Epaphroditus almost died giving himself to the Lord to help Paul. Timothy even got sick. I mean, people worked to supply for Paul. In Philippi, he says later on that your care of me has changed. It's improved. And the church of Philippi was very much a givers to Paul in the ministry. And they were beloved. It's nice to have people that care, isn't it? I remember the first time that I had a missionary come back from the mission field. I'm not talking about someone in the United States who's starting a church. Amen for that. But one that was on a foreign mission field. And it was Brother Matheny. And he came back and he says, you don't understand how it is, nice it is and great it is to show how much you love us. I would send them cards. They'd send me a letter about once every 3 to 4 months, and I would respond with a card. He said, we would actually, as our family, go to the mail service in Romania, and my kids would want to read it over and over again on the way home. It was encouraging us that someone cared enough to write to us. And I mean, most of the time it was a very short, like a paragraph long letter, but they would read it. The next kid would read, what did Brother Savage say? Read it again. And he said it was encouraging to do that. Brother Yale down in Brazil said he loved my letters, he just couldn't read them. He said they're in a different language. That may be true. But it's nice. You remember what he said about the house of Stephanus? In the 1 Corinthians, he's talking about the house of Stephanus that laboreth and that is addicted to the ministry. You know what? I'll be honest with you. When I go out and work on the work site, those people that stick to you, with you through thick and thin, those are the ones you keep. And those are the ones that give you that peace. But not only that, look at this. In the last part of verse 3, it says, whose names are in the book of life. Book of life recipients. You know what's encouraging? When you meet with people that you know for sure is on their way to heaven. I mean, that gives you peace to have someone working with you that you know is a brother and sister of Christ. You know by their fruits. You know by their mannerisms. Like I said, I was talking on the phone. I'm going to tell you, talking to that, I don't know if that chaplain for the sheriffs was saved or not, but he sure didn't act like it. When I quoted the Bible, he just walked right over like it didn't mean anything. And I said, my lands, this ought to stir your soul. And it didn't. It didn't stir him. And I don't know, but that bothers me. It doesn't bother me when I talk to Christians that are excited about things and want to see things change. Listen, how can we understand that peace that passeth all understanding? The first thing is they have someone to work with. Number two, if you would, verse 4 and 5. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Here's a great part of the scripture. The Lord is at hand. You know, what an encouragement it would be that the Lord's right here. In the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son. He is ever seating. He is on my side 24/7. But that's not what it's talking about. You know what the phrase at hand means? The next event. The Lord's return is on its way. So why can they have a peace? How can these people, how can Paul talk about this peace of passive understanding? What is it? Well, you have someone to work with. But number two, you have something to look forward to. Folks, listen to me. What's next is the rapture. I don't know about you, but I'm all excited about that. I just like to see it. You know, someone's going to talk about all these sci-fi movies. That's computer imaging. This is real life. We're going to fly out of here. We won't need a mask. We don't need a space capsule to beam us up. Scotty, please. We're going to go straight up, and we're going to go past the astronauts. We're going to wave them goodbye as we're heading to the throne of God. I'm going to tell you what an exciting event that's going to be. I don't know about you. I want to just laugh. I want to be able to stop. Can you slow mo Lord for a little bit while I look back at the faces of people? Can you imagine it? Now, I don't want anybody here to be left, but can you imagine if you're the last one here? Or if you're left behind because you weren't saved? Can you imagine the scene here? All you would see is clothes. nuts and bolts? Because some people have nuts, like myself. My ankle has some nuts and bolts, and I think Rebecca's got one or two in her back, and some of you have a few missing. But our eyeglasses, our hearing aids, you got a pacemaker, there it is, on the ground. Because you ain't needing them up there. Amen. What an event. I would just like to go slow-mo, Lord, because I like to hear it. Amen. And then the government would come on and be good. Praise the Lord, the Christians are gone. Now we can party. They won't say it that way, but they'll come up with something. How about the grave diggers? The morticians. I'm sorry for your dear one, loved one. Gone. What happened? A new form of cremation. We just put our hands on them, they disappear. Hey, what an event that's going to be. I'm going to tell you, what a reunion up in the sky. And we'll be able to see our Lord. Think of something else. The reason why you can have a peace that passeth all understanding is the Christian judgment seat. I don't know about you. There was a time where I didn't want to see the Christian judgment seat. There was a time in my life I'd go, whoa, I don't know. Come on, amen. Anybody ever have to go to a job interview or a job reevaluation for a promotion? You're going, boy, I wonder how this is going to go. Well, if you're doing good, you're excited about it. If you're making the boss money and you've been loyal, go, man, I'm ready. Come on. What am I going to get paid this year? What kind of raise am I going to get? But if you're slacker, you're going, I'm going to the boss's office. Hey, we're going to go to the boss's office. If you're serving the Lord, if you're faithful to the Lord, you're kind of looking forward to it. You know why? He's bringing his reward with him. And he's going to reward us according to our works. And I'm going to tell you, it's going to be all worth it. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Amen. What a blessing that's going to be. Oh, wow. And then the marriage supper of the Lamb. Someone said, hang on a second, preacher. How big is heaven going to be? I said, huge. You go, why? That don't make sense, because if only 5-10% of the population saved, that's very few. Well, 10 million babies have been aborted this year already around the world. That's 10 million at the marriage supper of the Lamb just since January. Now, I'm not saying keep killing babies. I don't think, amen, that's not our job to take life. But that, you think about all the millions of babies per year that are destroyed because people just aren't, it's inconvenient. Up in heaven, they're there. Amen. Amen. Every child that dies before the age of accountability, up in heaven they are. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. People, some of you have had miscarriages or stillborn. One of our daughters had two miscarriages. The other one had a stillborn. And I'm going to tell you, they're up in heaven. I tell them, man, they're up in heaven. They didn't have to put up this earth. They went straight to the throne of God. One of these days we're going to see them. Isn't that exciting? One of these days we're going to see them. I have 3 or 4 grandbabies up there I get to see. What a blessing that is. I'm going to tell you, the marriage supper of the Lamb is going to be kind of neat. There ain't going to be any picking sides. The Lord will put you on a side. Amen? Either for the bride or for the groom. We're all for the groom. Because we're the bride. If you're a Christian and you're in His church, you're part of the bride, serving the Lord faithfully. What an exciting time. When you read the Scriptures, that is a neat thing happening up in heaven. Well, we have something to look forward to. And then the Lord's going to come down. He's going to stand on Mount Olivet. He's going to split Mount of Olives and split it in half so the way of the King of the East can come into the Valley of Jehoshaphat. We're going to be riding on horses. Amen. The Word of God's going to go out and destroy him. We're going to see all the enemies of God destroyed. You know, you read those stories in the Bible and go, oh, that's kind of neat. And your mind kind of goes, if you're like me, your imagination goes to how it was. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to be able to see it face to face. He's going to set up his throne. He's going to reshape this earth. Amen. It's going to be beautiful. We're going to be able to see the millennial kingdom. Wow. Peace on earth, finally. I can understand someone having peace of passive all understanding if that's what they have to look forward to. Amen. Let's see another one. Verse 6, if you would, please. The Bible says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. we have, or they have, someone to help them. It's nice to be at peace when you have help. Isn't it nice when you're going crazy and you're doing something that someone reaches over, either physically or emotionally or verbally, slaps you in the face to get you under control? And they calm down. Isn't it nice to have someone that can actually do that in your heart? Someone can make you calm physically, maybe grab you and shake you and say, but how about the heart? It's still stirred. But we have someone that can help us with that. In fact, the Bible says he's a very present help in time of trouble. Amen? Go, if you would, please, through the Bible with me. Go all the way back to the book of Psalm in chapter 91. Psalm 91, if you would, please. Let's look at a few verses. Starting in Psalm 91, then we're going to head to Jeremiah. But Psalm 91, first of all, we have prayers, our prayers. We can pray. We can ask God. Listen to what it says in Psalm 91 and verse 14. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Jeremiah, if you would please, in chapter 29. Jeremiah 29, if you would with me. Look at verse 12 and 13. Jeremiah 29, 12 says this. Then shall you call upon me, in verse 12, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search me with all your heart. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, he says, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Listen, folks, we have someone that we can pray to and help us have peace. We have a God that's ready to answer, ready to hear, and ready to fulfill the prayers we have. We also have supplications. Go, if you would, to the book of Romans, if you would with me, in chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8, if you would with me. The book of Romans and chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to look down a little bit. Go all the way down, if you would, please, to verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for his saints, for the saints, according to the will of God. The Bible says, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Listen, not only prayers, but it says here supplications. You know what? I didn't even understand what supplications was until my heart was hurting. I couldn't pray. You ever been to a point where you could not pray? You physically, emotionally, spiritually cannot pray, either in confusion. Have you ever been angry with God? You ever had the point where, God, I'm angry and I don't know how to talk to you? Amen? I'm going to tell you, praise the Lord, the Spirit takes over, because it'd probably be best if I didn't talk at that time. Amen? There's times my wife and I get in a disagreement and I'll just get up and walk off. She goes, where are you going? I said, somewhere I cannot yell at you. I says, I need time to just cool off, and then I'll come back and we'll have a calm discussion, right? Supplications. The Holy Spirit speaks in our behest. I don't know about you. I've had those groanings before in my life. Isn't it great to have a God to where when the groaning comes, you can go to him? Because people don't always understand. You know, I don't know about you. I try my hardest to say, oh, I understand what you're going through. Even if I went through something similar, it's not the same. People are different. People respond differently. But we have a God that has been taking every infirmity and temptation we have, and he passed the test. He knows how to get through those tough times. Well, we need to praise him for it. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, if you would, please. Let's see the third thing mentioned here. Not only prayers, supplications, but the Bible says thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Isn't it nice to be grateful? Now, some people just aren't grateful. They don't have nothing to thank for anyway, but we do. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body preserve blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Amen. Hey, in the text of the peace of God sanctify you wholly is thanksgiving. Hey, listen. One of the reasons why we can have peace is we can be thankful. We have someone to help us. We have someone there that not only can promise, but he can perform it. He's able also to do that. And we need to praise the Lord for that. Listen to me, folks. We can have peace that passes understanding. Why? Because we have someone that can help us. Lastly, if you would, please, verse 7 and 9 of the same text. Go back to Philippians chapter 7. If you would, chapter 4, verse 7. And look at verse 7 through 9. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Okay. So I have someone to work with me. Praise God. I have something to look forward to. That could give me peace. I have someone to help me. And that's a great thing. But lastly, I have a lot. These people have a lot of good to think about. You know, people that have the peace of understanding, they concentrate on things that are good. How many of you, let's be honest with yourself. How many of you raise your hand and say, I am a pessimist? Could you slip a hand up? Come on, Mrs. Savage. Yes, you are, girl. When we get to things, she's always talking about the negative part. I'll start something. She'll go, but what if? Like we were talking about this thing. She goes, what if you get arrested? What if I get arrested? How about what if God builds a hedge of protection around us? How about if God gets a hold of the sheriff and the? I'm thinking the governor's going to get saved through all this, and she's thinking I'm going to jail. Maybe that's a positive thing for her. I never thought of that. Hey, you know, sometimes we're pessimists. We're worriers. When something happens, we always go to the bad. Isn't that sad? Christians, we have a lot of things to think about. Come on, amen? We got some good to think about. First of all, good report. In other words, some things that God has done for us. Hey, come on. This ain't Sunday school class, but let's think of some things that God has done for us. Come on. Raise a hand. Tell me. Come on. Amen. Okay. I mean, she's had an interesting life with wild animals and crazy people. Taking care of the church. Good. Come on, folks. What else? Home in heaven. What has God done for you? Come on. Amen. Lady on the path. Okay. Save your soul. Nobody else he's done anything for? Come on. His salvation. Okay, I got somebody way back in the back there. Yes, sir. Okay, I didn't understand a word that boy just said. Anybody else get it? What? His birthday is July 8th? Amen! He has a birthday coming up. There's a lot of things God's done for us. Come on, amen? So when we're going through a tough time, the reason why we can have a peace that passeth all understanding is there's some good things that have happened to us. It's not. I had to think about this. I was born in America. Now, some people say, well, that's arrogant. Come on now. I could have been born in China. I could have been born in Bangladesh. I could have been born in a country where I don't have the freedom. Oh, they're going away fast. I don't have the freedoms that I can complain about that I don't have. Hey, amen. I was born healthy. I'm not completely crazy. Amen. I mean, seriously, I know how to tie my shoes. I know how to count to five or six if I could use both hands. But I'm just telling you, folks, it's amazing. I'm breathing. You know, I've seen him heal me over and over again. He breaks me too, but he heals me back up. The Lord says, I won't break you, but then I'm going to heal you. And I praise the Lord for that. We have a great God. He's done a lot. There's been a lot of good to us. Not only a good report, how about virtue? How about some things? Now listen to me, I'm not bragging, but we can be thankful for some things we've done for God. The Lord even talks about that. The Lord talks about him hanging on, putting in a bottle, thoughts to God. Just thoughts. Have you ever had good thoughts to God? You haven't been sitting around going, man, Lord, thank you for this day. Boy, it's in the bottle. Boy, God, you sure are cool. Book in the Bible. I'm a bottle, sorry. In the Bible. I want to tell you, folks, we have done some things. You're going to church. You're coming to church now. You're reading your Bible more than you used to read it. You're tithing. You're talking to people about Jesus. You're inviting people to church. Come on. You're reading with study anymore. You're wanting to learn more. You're striving to get rid of some bad things. When you do something wrong, it bothers you. These are things that we ought to be grateful for. We could be that Christian that just goes, I'm saved by grace, and just go into the nothingness the rest of their life. And go to the God and say, well, here's your gift that you gave me. No, you could be saying, hey, I had five, but I gained five more. We ought to be grateful for that. If you're growing in the Lord, you ought to be happy. Give you that peace of all understanding. But also it says right here, it says, if there be any praise, in verse 8, think on these things. Oh, come on, folks. Everywhere I go, I am not kidding you. I am not kidding you. Everywhere I go, I hear unsaved people saying, how come you're always so happy? I say it every time. I'm saved by grace, on my way to heaven. I have a beautiful wife that loves me. I have to throw that in there every once in a while. Because my wife's standing there. And they go, oh, that's good. And I'll say, seriously, I'm saved by grace, on my way to heaven. Why wouldn't I be happy? So, can you understand? A peace that passeth all understanding. It could be yours if you remember these things. Let's bow our heads, please.